Take our Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I promised at the leadership training that we would look at this subject of delegation this evening, and we, for those that were part of our leadership training morning, we began the morning by addressing the issue of being ministry-minded and the need for you and I to be ministry-minded, to consider the overall ministry of God's work. This is beyond us just serving in our little part of the vineyard, and that's good and well, but at the same time, seeing the bigger picture. And I'd like to submit to you this evening, if we are ministry-minded, we will value and appreciate the principle of delegation. And that's what I want to address this evening, delegation with precision. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What does it mean to delegate? It simply means to shift, the shifting of authority, the shifting off, or the passing on of authority, responsibility of a task to somebody else. That's what it means to delegate. Now, the basis of delegation, when I speak of delegation, I am mindful of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, that in delegating, in passing on authority, responsibility, the fulfilling of a task by someone else, we are opening up an opportunity for others to be trained. In other words, delegation is a channel for training others. If we don't delegate, then we're not training others. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be considering others and getting others involved. "The things that thou hast heard of me," the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, "that which you've heard of me among many witnesses," confirmed by many witnesses. I'm not just telling you a story, I'm telling you the truth. Confirmed by many witnesses. "Timothy, the same truth commit thou to faithful men." That's very important. "Who will be able to teach others also." So the basis of delegation is training others. It is a channel in training others to do what we do, and that way we could do something else, or we have more people doing what we can do. And as verse 2 makes reference to, commit to faithful men. We don't just delegate to anybody, but we make sure that a standard is evident. Faithful men, what I call fat Christians. The majority of the time in Scripture, the word fat is used positively. Not often it's used negatively. Faithful, available, teachable. That's what you want, fat Christians. So we don't delegate to anybody. We look for fatsos. We look for fat Christians. Amen. Faithful, available, teachable. Because you commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And for those that are main leaders of ministry, you will note in your leadership notes on page 14 some qualities to look for. And then in page 15, you will note the process of training. In delegation, there needs to be training. The Apostle Paul taught, trained Timothy. And he said to Timothy, what I've taught you, what I've trained you to do, I want you to teach and train others. So the basis of delegation is training others. And I believe that we often fail to delegate because we are plain lazy. We don't want to make the effort to delegate. Or we are proud. We convince ourselves that nobody can do it as well as you and I can do it. And that might be true, but that's beside the point. So there are many reasons why delegation does not take place within a church, but I believe that those two are critical ones: lack of diligence, laziness, and pride, because we don't want to let go and we want to control and we convince ourselves, well, nobody can do it as good as me. So the basis of delegation and getting others involved is an opportunity to train others. The second point I want to stress this evening concerning delegation is the benefit of delegation. The benefit of delegation is that we share the load. Okay? The basis of delegation is that we have an opportunity to train others, faithful men, to do what we are doing. The benefit of delegation is that we share the load. And there in the book of Exodus chapter 18, this was a lesson that the father-in-law of Moses taught this man of God here in Exodus chapter 18, please. The benefit of delegation is that we share the load. Now, you might not be a main leader of ministry, understand that, but I'd like to think that I'm talking to the converted here, that you want to be involved and you want to serve God, so therefore, Lord willing, in time, you will become the recipient of delegation, where somebody will try to include you and help you to be trained in a ministry. So one of the benefits of delegation is that we share the load. The basis is that we are training others. We share the load. Now Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, challenged this man of God concerning his failure to delegate. Note here in Exodus chapter 18, please, verses 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 and 14, it reads, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto the evening." Note verse 14. "And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?'" So Jethro challenges Moses concerning his ministry method. Why are you doing what you are doing? What is your objective? See, it's good for us to evaluate what we are doing and why we are doing it. And often God will have somebody from the outside ask that penetrating question: why are you doing it this way? So Jethro challenges Moses as he observes this guy is bearing all the load on himself in providing counsel for the people of God. And because there's so many of them, he's standing up counseling from morning until evening. Why, Jethro said, are you doing this alone? Well, Moses responds in verse 15 and 16, and he contends this objection or this questioning. And Moses basically said to his father-in-law, well, people want direction. And Moses was thankful for the fact that people wanted some direction. And obviously Moses wasn't lazy. He served unselfishly the people of God. He no doubt was a hard worker. Note verse 15 and 16. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. It's been well said that good is often the enemy of best at times. And it's so important that we do God's work God's way. Now Moses is to be commended for what he was willing to do. He was certainly a hard worker and he certainly counseled people biblically. But yet Jethro noticed that he's bearing this burden all on his own. So Jethro gives a caution. Note then verse 17 and 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away. Now he clarifies what is not good. He's not referring to the fact that he's counseling people with the word of God. That was certainly good. But he's addressing the issue. Note verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. So Jethro gives a caution. It's not good, Moses, what you are doing, because you will eventually wear away. In fact, you will wear away the people as well. You will be exhausted and your people will be exhausted. So he gives a solemn caution to Moses and challenges him that you will just faint eventually. You won't be able to keep this up. Counseling from morning until evening, day in, day out, it will eventually wear you away. And then note then verses 19 and 20. Jethro reminds Moses of his main priorities. And he challenges him. And he asks the question in a roundabout way, do you understand, Moses, what your priority is? Note verses 19 and 20. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So Jethro reminds Moses, Moses, let me ask you a question. What's your priority? Are you doing what God would have you to do? Moses, aren't you meant to be first and foremost praying for your people? Stresses that at the end of verse number 19. Are you not to teach people? Counseling concerning petty issues
Moses, that's not your priority. Others could do that. Your priority is to pray and minister the word of God. So what Jethro does here is that he challenges Moses. Moses, you need to make a short list of what are your priorities. And as far as Jethro was concerned, Moses, your priority is to pray, to intercede on the behalf of God's people, and your priority is to teach and preach the word of God. But to listen to everybody's petty little issue, others could attend to that. The father-in-law is not backward in coming forward. So Jethro goes on and gives some wise counsel to Moses. Look at verse 21 and 22. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Verse 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Note that little phrase, bear the burden with thee. Delegation, delegating, getting others involved is a means by which we share the load. We share the load. And Moses was given some wise advice by his blessed father-in-law. Don't belittle your father-in-law. He might have something worth saying every now and again. So he pulls him up and said, Moses, let me give you some wise counsel, son. You need to divide. You need to look for qualified men, fat, faithful men that have these qualities. And you need to appoint them a group to care for. Some can care for 50, some can manage more so. And you're to divide the people of God amongst these leaders. And you are to commission these leaders to attend to any petty issues or smaller issues that they can deal with as spiritual men. But if they have something complicated that needs to be addressed and it's beyond their ability, then you are to instruct your men to see you. Simple, but so profound. Able men, men that fear God, men of truth, men that hate covetousness. And those that can handle 10, those that can handle 50, 100, 1,000, whatever, just work it out, Moses, and let them attend to the needs of the people. But for those issues that are complicated, then send them to me. Get them to send them to you. Some wise advice, wise counsel. And then note Jethro's conclusion there in verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. You won't collapse out of exhaustion. And all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Jethro said to Moses, if you will do what I'm advising you to do very strongly, you will endure. And the people will be at peace. They will be satisfied because they've received counsel. But they haven't worn you out in the process as the main leader. And then we read from verses 24 to 27 that Moses took on board this wise counsel. And I guess in a nutshell, we see within this event, in the life of Moses, that he learnt a valuable lesson, the importance of delegation. His father-in-law taught him the fact that delegation is all about sharing the load. The benefit of delegation is sharing the load. And that's why we need to delegate. This is why we need to train others. And this is why we as a church are not content with just having one song leader. We have a bunch of song leaders. We don't just have one usher. We have a number of ushers. We don't have just one or two nursery workers. We have many nursery workers. We don't just have one preacher. We have a number of preachers. We don't just have one Sunday school teacher. We have a number of Sunday school teachers. And the list goes on and on. We don't just have one PA man. We have a number of PA men. This is delegation. This is sharing the load. This is a means of training others. And you and I need to be faithful in investing in others and take seriously the importance of delegation. Delegation. Go to Nehemiah chapter 3 and I'll close with this. Nehemiah was a master delegator. Nehemiah, the third chapter. So delegation is the basis of training others. The basis of delegation is training others. The benefit of delegation is that we share the load. We don't just have one pianist, we have many pianists. There's a reason for our madness. We're just not going crazy for the sake of it. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, 2. When I inherited the church, I had a bunch of people in this church and they were it. They were ex-cathedra. They ran the nursery. They ran the ushering. They controlled the piano. They controlled the organ. I said, no way. No more. Now, we had World War III for a little period of time, but that eventually settled. Peace prevailed. We've been on the victory side ever since, because I'm convinced that the more, the merrier for God's glory. And it's so critically important that we understand that, hey, I need to be training others, I need to be helping others, I need to be investing in others. What I can do, somebody else can do, because this is an opportunity for me to train somebody else, and this is an opportunity for me to share the load with somebody. Otherwise, you and I will wear out. Because none of us are invincible. None of us. Nehemiah was an amazing man of God. A delegator. One of his great qualities. And we see here in chapter 3, delegation, delegation, delegation. According to chapter 6, verse 15, the walls rebuilt in 52 days. 52 days, a month and a half, Nehemiah led the people of God that did not lift a finger until he arrived in Jerusalem. With all this rubble and all this mess and all this opposition, he led God's people to rebuild this wall in 52 days. And the reason why he was able to lead in the rebuilding of this wall and the completion in a miraculous time frame is simply because Nehemiah delegated. Didn't ride into Jerusalem as if he was the superhero. I'm the solution to all of your problems. Watch out. Watch me perform. That wasn't his attitude. He said, God's going to help us, and we're going to rebuild this wall. See, many fail to delegate because they are proud. They think that they can do it alone, or they do it best. Many won't delegate because they're plain lazy. It takes effort to delegate, to train others. May I also say many fail to delegate because they're insecure. They're afraid, oh, I might lose my job. That's a blessing. You can do something else for God's glory. Didn't Jesus say the laborers are what? Few. There's always work to be done in God's work. A man's gift maketh room for him and brings him before great men. And Nehemiah wasn't afraid to delegate. Nehemiah was humble. He was diligent. He was secure in himself. And this enabled him to share the vision with God's people. And those that were willing to jump on board became a part of fulfilling this vision to have this wall rebuilt. And we see within Nehemiah chapter 3 a number of general principles concerning delegation, what I call the building blocks of delegation. Now, we don't have time to deal with them in detail, but let me just mention them. One building block that was evident in how Nehemiah delegated is that he did not exclude people from getting involved. He did not exclude people from getting involved. Many are mentioned within chapter 3. There are many, many names here. And when you look at verse 1, you read of priests. You go to verse 8, you read of goldsmiths. You go to verse 12, you read of rulers. You go to verse 29, you read of keepers of the gate. So we have different people, different responsibilities, different qualities, all involved. Didn't exclude people from getting involved, those that wanted to get involved. And the second building block that I'd like to stress this evening from the life of Nehemiah when it comes to delegation is that every individual worked on a specific part of the wall. And we read of that in chapter 3. There were those that worked by the fish gate, verse number 3. There were those that worked by the old gate, verse number 6, and so on. Each individual worked on their specific designated part of the wall. And when it comes to delegation, we should not exclude those that qualify and are willing to be involved, but also need to be mindful that every individual needs to have their domain, so to speak, or their part of the vineyard to attend to. And that way they can take ownership of that part and do it to the best of their ability. And also we see within this chapter the third building block that was evident in the life of Nehemiah when it came to delegation is that Nehemiah encouraged a team spirit. You'll read throughout the chapter words like next, 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 after, after, after. Let us build a team spirit. So Nehemiah had a way of encouraging God's people, hey, we are in it together, brethren. We are here for a task for the glory of God to build this wall. And you have a part in this vision, this calling to rebuild the wall that surrounds our beloved city, Jerusalem. So he bred a team spirit. The fourth building block that I'd like to stress is that Nehemiah was sensitive to the needs of those that were involved. We note there in chapter 3, verse 23, that he allowed people to build, to work on the wall that was closest to their home. So he was sensitive to the needs of God's people. In other words, if so-and-so's home was down here, when Nehemiah did as much as he could to give that person a responsibility close to home, he was sensitive to the needs of the people. Now, there were always those, and chapter 3, verse number 5 teaches us, there were those that were dragging their feet, the Tekoites. Next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles were put not their necks to the work of their Lord. There's always those that will drag their feet. But yet, according to chapter 3, verse 27, there are those that will go the extra mile. There are those that will always go the extra mile. So we see some wonderful building blocks from the life of Nehemiah, how he delegated, how he didn't exclude anybody. Every individual had a specific job to do. He bred a team spirit, and he was sensitive to the needs of his workers. He treated them like human beings, not means of production, like maybe your boss treats you, where he just wants productivity out of you and couldn't care less about your personal well-being. Well, that wasn't Nehemiah. He loved people. He loved the nation of Israel. And beyond productivity, he was concerned about them as people. And when you and I are involved in training, in delegating, it's important that we are, yes, productive, but we need to make sure that we have a genuine concern for those that we're training, for those that we've delegated responsibility to. And there'll always be those that will drag their feet, but praise God, there'll always be those that will go the extra mile. Nothing new under the sun. It was evident in the life of Nehemiah, and it'll be evident in Metropolitan Baptist Church. So in closing this evening, delegation with precision involves the fact that the basis for delegation is we train others. We train others. And the benefit of delegation is that we share the load. Okay? And last but not least, Nehemiah gives us some building blocks. Productivity, by getting people involved and having a genuine concern for those individuals. So if you have the opportunity to train somebody, to delegate, make sure that you have a right spirit towards them. Make sure that you are there to help them and encourage them, and reflect a genuine concern for their personal well-being. And be diligent to train them. Train them. Okay, delegation isn't a matter of just saying, okay, I'd like for you to be a song leader. What do you reckon? Sounds good, Pastor. Have fun. There's a hymn book. Pick some hymns. Make sure you get them to the musicians the week before. Now maybe that person needs to be trained how to song lead. Maybe they need to be taught. Now, here's a formula, for a better word, in picking hymns. We don't want you to pick the same hymns every week. And the list goes on and on. That's training. That's teaching. That takes work. That takes time.
And you main leaders of ministry, I'm counting on you to train, to teach, to reproduce yourself. And don't just expect people to know what to do. Because the Bible teaches us, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. If you don't train somebody, this is how you do it, they'll just do their own thing. And that equates to a disaster. A disaster. So for those of us that are choosing to be ministry-minded this evening, you will value what I've just said for the last 35 minutes. For those of you that don't have a ministry mindset, you're probably thanking God that pastor's finally finishing. And that's a shame. Because the laborers are few. And let me tell you, one of the reasons why laborers are few is because many of us cannot be bothered to invest in somebody else. And I challenge you this evening that you and I are here to reproduce ourselves. What legacy will you and I leave behind? If you were to drop dead tonight, not that I wish that on your behalf, but don't worry, all expenses paid as far as your service here in church. But if you were to drop dead tonight, what will you leave behind spiritually? Honestly, who have you trained? Who have you encouraged for God's glory? May God help us to see the importance of training others. See, the laborers are few, not only because there are many of God's people that are stubborn and selfish and will not surrender to God's will, but another reason why the laborers are few is because many of us do not see it as a priority to invest in others and to train others and to get others involved. That's a problem. That's why even independent Baptist churches are full of old people. Not just the Anglicans. The Uniting. It's happening in our churches. But by God's grace, not Metropolitan Baptist Church. So let's value the importance of training others, and that encompasses delegation. That's my challenge this evening. Where do I begin, Pastor? Well, just do well what you're doing. And if you're doing well what you're doing, then you will qualify to train somebody else. Let's bow for prayer.